Well, if you are just showing up today oblivious to what's happening today, you stepped into a different kind of Sunday at Lambrick. We are going to have a very honest conversation about a fierce, destructive, and very common battle that is raging in our world and that is raging in many of our lives. We're talking today about lust, pornography, and the fight for freedom. Why? Well, for some of you, I don't need to explain why. Your heart has been beating hard since the moment I announced this last week, or you saw the email. But let me ask the question anyways, why? Why are we having this conversation this morning all together as opposed to just a pastoral conversation one-on-one or maybe a Wednesday night meeting for those interested? We're having this conversation together today because Jesus regularly had this conversation. And I mean that. Sexuality, sexual purity, sexual faithfulness, sexual wholeness matters greatly to God and to the gospel. Because these things are all about our relationships. They're all about our hearts. They're all about our joys, our bodies, our affections, our fears, justice. These are all things God cares so much about. Again and again, in the Gospels, we find Jesus speaking graciously, lovingly, pointedly about sin and its destructive power in the life of an individual, in the life of relationships, in the life of a community and a world. And sexual sin, both adultery and the broader experience of sexual immorality, is always involved in the conversation. Other things are involved, let that be said. But these are always involved in the conversation. And following the example of Jesus, the Apostle Paul and the other New Testament writers name this again and again. In Colossians, a letter that has lingered in my life a lot over the years. We're going to spend some time in it in a couple weeks, in the next couple weeks. Colossians 3, Paul, speaking about sexual immorality, says, put it to death. Colossians 3, verse 5, Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly, your fallen nature. And he lists, he says, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And some of us know that wrath already in our hearts, our lives, our relationships, our souls. These acts, these pursuits, these habits, these ways are destructive, deeply counter to the good desires and purposes of God. And I want to point your attention to this word sexual immorality. It's a word that Jesus uses. It's a word that Paul and other New Testament writers use. It's a Greek word, pornein. It's where we get the word porn. It refers to any and all illicit sexual intercourse. Any and all sexual relationships outside of the covenant of a man and woman in marriage, which includes adultery, but is not limited to adultery. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Those are things all of us are called to fight against, to put to death. Those are things that are possible, maybe familiar to all of us. Single, dating, married, divorced, widowed. I've heard someone recently say, I've heard it many times, referencing someone who's about to get married. They only have 2 more days to fight lust. That is a lie. This is a battle, is a human experience that all of us fight and must fight. So Jesus talks about porn, as do the Apostle Paul and the other New Testament writers, and so will we. And with that too, the other reason that stands out to me today of why we need to talk about this together is because part of the insidious battle of sin, struggle against sin, is that we often think we're alone. That we often think we are the only one in the room. Because no one talks about it as sin or even just talks about it. But I want you to know today, you are not alone. We are a company of sinners. Every church is. We are a company of sinners in the process of being redeemed by Jesus. All of us. Which does not give us license to sin, but gives us a reason to come out of hiding and find support and support one another in the battle against sin that we all experience. Now, some would say that what we're doing this morning is dangerous. Dangerous to talk about this. But I would say, as a pastor who has sat with many people across the spectrum, young and old, retirees, teenagers, women and men, that is more dangerous for us to stay silent. Because this is a battle that is going on. It is part, one of the reasons that we are in so much trouble, because we have stayed silent. And so I come in today with a great gravity in my heart. I've been praying deeply. And just want to say, this is not our normal Sunday morning. This is going to get very personal, which for some of you might feel very uncomfortable. But let me say right now, there is nothing about this that is inappropriate. As a pastor, I know that this is something that many of us need to have addressed as much as anything else. So two thoughts before we dive into it. One is, I just want to say, here's my one concern this morning. And I'm borrowing a phrase from a friend. I don't want to break a broken person today. Some of you are in here today very fragile. You come afraid. You come terrified that somehow today, instead of helping, will just make you feel worse. I'm drawn by Jesus in Matthew, quoting Isaiah, speaks about God in this way, Isaiah 42. He says, "A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." And I'm guided by this today, and I want this to be the case among us, that we would, as a church, be like our God. That we would come today not to shame, not to crush, but to restore, to come alongside one another in our common frailty, our common struggles. And we would know Christ and Christ's church to be a community that lifts us up. And that's my aim today, that we would not increase shame, but we would speak a much needed word of hope to the despairing and offer some help to those in the grip of or walking alongside others in the grip of pornography and sexual brokenness. I want to invite Justin and Danielle Ritter to come on up, okay? Come on up. We're going to sit on these fancy couches. They're not that fancy. We just stole them from the commons out there. Thanks for coming, guys. Hopefully that works. So hopefully we've cleared out enough space here. Justin and Danielle are not professional speakers. They're not pastors. They're not used to this. Danielle's a full-time mom of two young kids. And Justin is a carpenter. There you go. A few month and a bit ago, 2 months ago, I reached out to some friends praying toward wanting to have this conversation, and they pointed me towards these friends and suggested to me that it'd be worth meeting with Danielle and Justin, because they've walked through what we're talking about today, and they have a humble and caring heart for the lives of others, and are willing to speak. And so over the last, month and a half, we've met a couple times, and in these times, I have just really appreciated who Justin and Danielle are, and their willingness to speak openly about their story, and their I've seen evidence of God's wisdom and life in the way they've walked this last season in particular. And I'm thankful that you guys have been willing to be here. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I think I've already said it, but let me just say it one more time. We all have a story. We all are loved by God. We all have our own battles of sin and equally need the grace of God. And we our boast is in Christ alone, right? And so I'll say to you guys, just so you know, you have nothing to prove to us today. Just as I have nothing to prove to you or anyone in this room. We come because of God's grace, and we stand on God's grace. And I'm thankful for the ways I see God's grace in you guys. So let me pray, and we'll dive in, okay? Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, we come in need of your kingdom, your reign, your revelation, your grace today. We just give you one another in the ways that our hearts are postured right now. Ask you to give us all ears to hear your voice as we listen to the lives of others, that we would hear and see ourselves, and we would hear your voice, God. So lead us today. Amen. I would love to pray for a lot longer, but we got to get moving here. So we really only, you know, we don't do 5-hour services. We're not like our friends in Ethiopia. So this is going to be a challenge here. And so there's going to be pieces that I'm going to open up to Justin and Danielle and let them share. And then I'm going to like skim over some of their story, sketch it out for us, and then get down to some nuts and bolts. So who wants to start? Justin, you want to start? So tell us a bit about your early years and where your story begins.
Okay, so my story with pornography started when I was 8 years old. We had a moving satellite, and you could never lock out all the channels. And me, my brother, and my sister were all in the room, and we came across a pornographic film, and we didn't know what, like, it was just like, I couldn't turn it off. Like, it was like, what are they doing? And from that very first time that I watched that one, I wanted to watch more. Like, it just opened something up that, like, I just wanted more and more. And so as I went along, I'd sneak in the morning and night when parents were going to sleep, because, like, I knew that wasn't right in that sense, but, like, I would get in trouble if they knew. And so I would sneak it whenever possible. And it only took that once where I was hooked. And I never could get enough of it. And it's like the only thing I really remember growing up the most is that, like, watching that stuff. And as I got a little bit older, you know, my thinking was that way more and more. Sorry guys. I'm not a speaker, so just bear with me. So as I get older, you know, I'm still, you know, I'm addicted to this, okay? And I remember one time I was in this situation where, like, I heard this voice say, "Do this, no one will know." And at that time, at that moment, I was like, "What's wrong with me?" Like, it was so strong, the voice. Like, it was like it was behind me, and it was like, you, like, have, yeah. And so I left the room, and I was like I grew up in a Christian home, so I did know Jesus, and so I was like, "God, what's wrong with me?" Because I didn't know what was going on, and I was 12 years old then. And it never, you know, it just continued on. I remember my mom caught me once and with a pornographic magazine in my room, and the only thing that she's right away just went mad, and she just, you know, hit and grab it and don't look at this, and that was it. That brings shame, and you know, that's in my mind, that was how it was dealt with, but it never was dealt with. Like, there was, like, and growing up in my family, it was like, you gotta wait till marriage to have sex. And that was pretty much it. So there was, like, there's no, like, why, you know, there's no, and in my teen years, like, again, it was even more, because going through puberty and I'm still sneaking it, like, I was still finding access to it in many places, and it would be like, you know, like it could be walking in the bushes and finding magazines, or you know, it could be like you throw something in the garbage and there's one right there. It was everywhere, and it was always on my mind, even when I went to sleep when I was in my teens, and not being able to fall asleep for hours just because I was thinking about this stuff. And you know, I 16, I got 16, I got my, like, I got into a relationship, and that's what I thought about, right? Because that's what I had watched. That was in my mind. And so I wound up becoming sexual at that age. And even in that year, like, I was watching a film, like a pornographic film, and I made a vow where I said I was going to do what they're doing. Like, I was going to have as many of that, as much as that as I can. And I remember, like, that was very, it was like it's a highlight. And so from that time on, it went deeper from that vow. Like, I just saw an increase in that. And even my social skills, there were, you know, like, I couldn't have a real conversation, because that was like, that's in the back of my mind. So it ruled my life, and it just increased even more in my 20s. You know, I made decisions like in my teens, like grade 12 year, my parents moved away, and I wanted to stay, and I lied to my parents saying that I wanted to stay because of the friends and everything like that, but really I stayed because I was in a sexual relationship, and I wanted to stay in that. And my parents, they didn't, like, they had a intuition of it, but they never, you know, stood on it. And so, like, I decisions I had made was from that. And it directed me into areas where it took me into worse places, I believe, than if I had, you know, if I hadn't watched that.
Danielle, tell us your story.
All right. So when I also grew up in a Christian home. And when I was 5 years old, I saw something very inappropriate between a brother and a sister. And it was a sexual act. And I know that at that moment, it was like a target was put on my back. Because it was like after that, it was like sexual experience after sexual experience at such a young age, guys and girls. My babysitters would touch me inappropriately, or I had friends that would touch me inappropriately, and it kind of just became the norm. And then when I was 10 years old, I was actually molested by by a family member, and that kind of just like solidified things for me. And it kind of was like, Kate, this is my life. And I knew that it was wrong, but it was an adult. And so I was like, well, if it was wrong when I was a kid, maybe it's okay now because it was an adult. And so I kind of just stuffed all of that. I didn't talk about it with anybody. I never told my parents. And that put me into a very sexual childhood. And I started looking for love in all the wrong places. I found my fulfillment in men. And just such brokenness, so much shame. I just felt like I wanted people to like me. So I would do whatever it took, even if there was abuse involved. And I was just very insecure. I thought my only purpose was my sexuality became my identity. And yeah, it's such a lie. Like, the world says, make your sexuality your identity, and all your dreams are going to come true. But that was not the case for me. It destroyed my dreams. And it's such a thief, you know. The enemy tells us these lies, and we see them, but they're such counterfeits. And so I went down a very broken path, and I was just very sexual. That was my norm. I didn't know anything else. And then I was raped when I was in like 18, and just thing after thing, right? And it was just kind of like, this is kind of life. And I just came to the point where I'm like, I can't live anymore. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and all I heard growing up was, don't have sex before you're having married or you're going to hell. And that just doesn't cut it. And so I kind of became one of those technical virgins. I can do everything else but have sex, and I'm okay. And so I did all that, and I was like, well, I'm not getting pregnant, I'm not getting disease, and nobody's finding out, and nobody can find out, really. And then I got into a relationship with a boyfriend, and then I gave my virginity, and there was so much shame, and there was so much guilt, and I held on to that relationship with my whole life, because I was like, whoever I marry, I've had sex with this man, so I have to marry him. And so there was such a twisted lie in there, and that's why it's so important that the church talks about sex, because there's nothing in the world that's more counterfeited than sexuality and sex, because the enemy knows. And you don't counterfeit $5 bills. You counterfeit $100 bills, the big stuff. And so there's such a holy root there. And so, yeah, that was a huge, huge counterfeit in my life. And I just came to this point where it's like, I don't even want to live anymore. I'm just so broken. Nope, that's good for that part,
I think. So I don't want to do a lot of interpreting. I'll speak in the coming weeks on things. I'm going to carry the story forward a bit. As we hear, a lot of distorted thinking, perceptions, desires, a pretty consuming journey. In 2009, as I listen to these guys, I hear the beginning of change. Now, you guys knew each other in your teens, or
when I was 10.
When you're
12.
10 and 12, okay. So they had connection, friendship, knew each other. In 2009, God graciously spoke to a bunch of friends around Danielle, and they all said to her, God's chosen to send you to this discipleship school in Washington State. Jess and Danielle got some good charismatic church life in them, and that's God's been in that. So some friends said, God's sending you there. And Danielle's mom, right?
Yeah.
Suggested to you, Justin, you need to go to a discipleship experience called Freedom Session that churches run, helping individuals deal with brokenness, addictions, not just sexual, but that being a part of it. So that year, 2009, was a growing season. And as I listened to you guys, I heard, you know, God was speaking and there was renewal happening. Somewhere in that year, Justin told me that he kind of gave to God, okay, what's the future going to look like? And God said, you're going to marry Danielle. And what, you want to speak it?
Yeah. I was in the worship of the Freedom Sessions,
yeah.
and this question just popped in my head. I was like, I wonder who my wife is. And then I got bumped, like, it was just blown away, and it was just like a flash, and it was Danielle, and I was like, what?
And as Justin said to me, he bolted. Not because it was Danielle, but because he didn't want to be told what to do. Is that right? And what was looking like a season of renewal took a shift. And for Justin, just dove into a dark place, a downward spiral. profound battle, physical, relational, in private, with others. Again, as you referenced before, it's the physical challenges of being unable to sleep, and that's kind of the way it can start to fragment your existence, and also overt spiritual battle, oppression, torment at times. Terrifying is what I heard as I listened to you. Which brought you to a place of desperation, which is a horrible place and a great place to be. And for Justin, got to a place of saying, okay, God, okay. I'll move somewhere near Danielle, right? Is that kind of how you talk it?
I didn't care if I lived or died from sexual, because I wasn't protecting myself or anything like that. But Jesus was, he was worrying me. I get dreams of him and not being ready and he coming and I'm here. And then that was always in the back of my mind what the Lord had told me about Danielle. And I got to the place where I was like, okay, God, my way doesn't work. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. So I quit my job in Toronto. I told everyone goodbye, and I was moving back to BC because that was the last thing the Lord really told me. And that was where Danielle was. I was like, I'm going to go where she is, not pursue her, but whatever you have for me, God. So whatever door you have. And so I made my journey. I actually failed in Toronto where I, I went to a brewery, and it was a brewery party, and I missed my flight the next day, and God really opened the door, because I called and I was able to get a later flight, and I hadn't even packed, so I rush home, I get my stuff, and I put it in bags, and I get to the airport, I have 5 bags, and the flight lady, she's like, I'm only going to charge you for one. I was like, seriously? And then she's like, yeah. And so I get on the flight, and then I get to Kelowna, and my bags were half an hour late. So they gave me a $100 voucher and a $10 coffee, and while I waited. And it was just for me, it was God saying, even though you failed, he was there. He wanted me out of that. And so, yeah. And then Meta opened up, Meta School, that was the door that opened up. It was a school that she was a leadership in. It was a Bible school, and before even going to the school, it was right before the island, because I still struggled with all this stuff, right? And I remember one time, I was like, God, I'm gonna fail, I need your help. And then a burden lifted off, and I wasn't gonna, and I didn't feel that pressure to what I was gonna do. And then again, during the school, because I was I experienced freedom from that. And then again, we're at a hockey game, and it was that pressure was coming on me again. And then I remembered what I did last time, and so I just called out to God again, where I'm gonna fail if you don't help me. And then again, that burden lifted off, and then I experienced freedom until after the school, and me and Danielle, we wound up getting married.
I'll get there. Don't get ahead of us here. I just want to mention something that Justin just said there, because I want you to hear it in the context of the rest, is in the journey, there have been moments, seasons, where God, you talked about there coming back west and calling out to God, and God lifting these sexual cravings from you in a way. And I know some of you here that you go, oh, God, I wish that had been my experience, right? Oh, I've asked for that. And that was the experience at certain points. But there's other seasons, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, which is the season of fighting for this. And I know in my own life, I can talk about times where God has in a certain way, brought a grace-given breakthrough, and light has shone in. But the bulk of the spiritual life, as we read Paul's letters, as we read the Gospels, is the main journey of fighting off sin in the power of the cross and the Spirit. And that story's coming. So don't think, oh, why did Scott pick the group that gets the easy out? Because it's not an easy out. So these guys go into a new season. Danielle, God's at work in you, and a new season of renewal you've been walking through. And I'll use the term of a sexual sobriety, that God has brought a certain measure of strength. And Justin comes out and ends up signing up for this discipleship program that you're actually the teacher in. And he starts in the course of that to see God's life in you and to be attracted to it. And shares it with you, and you tell him to go talk to your dad, which I love. And there's a whole story there, but we'll leave that to keep moving on. So that leads towards you guys dating, being engaged, getting married. A short season, but a season that, as I listen to you, I've heard you say, you know, a season dedicated to God, a season of, God, we want, that's our past, and we're yours now. And we want our love to be pure. We want our marriage to be full of your life and your grace. We want to leave that behind. And so a real fierce commitment, did not even kiss till your wedding day. Whoa. A lot of people in the room going, what? But then, 1 month into marriage, the battle returns. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay, Danielle.
We got married and it was awesome. And our wedding day was awesome. Everybody's like, it's going to be so awkward. You haven't even kissed. But literally it was like cliche wedding night. Okay, I'm not going to go into it, obviously, but it was great. Okay. And then a month into marriage, this ugly thing rears its head. And all of a sudden, Justin is struggling bad. Like, the enemy is telling him that I'm not enough, and the enemy is telling me that I'm not enough. So we're literally going like this. And so I'm feeling like I'm not enough. I'm feeling like my husband doesn't feel like I'm not enough because he's being told I'm not enough. Because pornography teaches a man that no woman's ever enough. One woman's not ever enough. And it teaches a woman that she's never enough. And so we're being told these things. And so I thought I was a confident woman of God. I really did. I thought I was secure in Jesus. And all of a sudden, I am like destroyed. I don't know who I am anymore. I am so insecure. I feel so ugly. I never thought in a million years that my husband wouldn't desire me. It was such a hard time. I just was like, God, this is not okay. This is not what I signed up for. You picked the wrong woman for this man because I can't do this. And it was so hard, and I just felt so low, and I felt depressed, and I felt discouraged, and I was just like, how can this be? Like, we fought for our relationship during our dating. Like, we didn't even kiss to the altar. Like, I thought we were setting us up for success. And then how he had those experiences where it was just like taken away automatically, you know, it's like, I thought we were kind of set. And then the battle came a raging. And it was so bad, we couldn't even physically be intimate. It came to the point of impotency because he didn't even have to look at pornography during our marriage. It was in his mind because he had trained his mind for 20 years how to view a woman, what kind of woman he wanted. And so it was awful. Like, I felt like I can't measure up. The enemy was just lying to me all the time about how I wasn't good enough, how I was a failure as a wife. I took on all of his stuff instead of saying, hey, no, like, that's not who he is. But I took it personally.
So I'll just describe the battle. So, like, it literally was all day thoughts coming to me that, you know, because I had ran from what God told me for 5 years. And so all those thoughts started coming back, like, she's not good enough for you. Like, you can do better. And like, the only thing I would do is, in my mind, I'd be like, nope, that's not true. No. But I never, that's not fighting it. Because it overwhelmed me. And it overwhelmed my feelings. It got to the point where, like, those thoughts that were coming was how I felt. And like Danielle said, in the bedroom, like, impotency. Like, never in a million years did I think that I would have that problem, but it was there. And like, thoughts would be like, you have to think of another woman if you wanted to continue. And it's like, no, I rather fail than do that. And Danielle took that on as it's her. And I would tell her, no, it's not you. It's like, it's me. It's like, there's a bad, like, it's, this is what's going on. And, you know, and that was for a year and a half of battle. And, like I didn't want to, you know, look at pornography or anything. And I hadn't until, like, the year and a half later where, you know, I looked at girls in bikinis and I took that into the washroom and wound up sharing that with Danielle. And then I got to the place where I was desperate. And sweet.
Yeah, go ahead.
When he would share that he would mess up, it would like destroy me. Like I would just be like, oh my gosh. Like it would just reaffirm what the enemy was saying about me. And I'd take it on completely personal. I didn't care about what it was doing to him. I was just like, this sucks for me. This is hurting me to my core. Like, how can you do this to me? You know? And I think there's such a lie that pornography is only watching sex on the TV. But if you're actually like searching it out, you know, he was searching out women in bikinis because he didn't want to go over that line. But it's all the same thing. It's all our heart issue. It's lust, right? And so, yeah, I just want to encourage anybody, you know, it's like, let's fight this and like, you know, let's not settle because it's a counterfeit as well.
So, can we go on the good stuff now?
So, dark chapter. Subtle, compromise, rationalizing, hiding, failing, lying, shame, distance. Danielle, you shared with me just your response of becoming controlling and also just facing it primarily for your own sake. And you had a moment along the way where God spoke to you and really confronted you on why you were praying so fiercely, right? Tell us that and then we'll get into the fight.
Yeah, we're going to get the good part. I was listening to a sermon and this gentleman was talking about how him and his wife were having a really hard time and they were going to get divorced. And anyways, this woman is in the bathroom and God says, why are you so mad at that man? And she says, are you kidding me? Like he put me through hell for 13 years. And he said, yeah. And she says, I prayed for him every day. And he said, yeah, you prayed for him so you'd have a better marriage. It'd be easier on you. And then God says, you tied my hands. I couldn't do anything. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I just started bawling. And I realized the only time I prayed for my husband or my marriage was because it was hard on me. I never once prayed for who he is or what God had for him. I was just like, this is unfair. I deserve better. I had people telling me, you deserve better. And I was just like so undone. And so I remember that day I got ready. I did my hair, my makeup, and I went to go pick up Justin from work and I apologized to him. And I said, I am so sorry for the way that this has affected me and how my attitude has made you feel like a failure as a husband and a man and a father. And that was like huge. Like literally I could tell you, like, a couple days after that, like, God started working on his heart. I'm not even kidding you. Because it's like when we're praying these prayers that are all about us, our motive, right? It says in the Bible that we're self-seeking and envy are. Every bit of confusion is there in every evil thing. So as I'm praying for things in my marriage, I'm actually inviting in stuff because I'm praying from a place of me. And so that was so huge for me.
So God in his grace used that. And a turning in both of your guys' hearts toward God, we need your help. And you were already there, and you were trying to drag Justin into it, but he wasn't there. And your confession, God used that to open up something in you. And you guys started looking for help. And so I want to just take our last number of minutes here to go talk about the core pieces here, because that's really what a number of people in this room, maybe all of us, are going, okay, how do you fight from that place to a renewed heart, right? That's what we're after. The issue, the greatest issue, the deepest issue, the end goal is not just don't look at porn. What we're after is a new heart, a clean heart, right? Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what we long for. That's what God made us for. That's what we long for our kids and our friends and ourselves. So, how have you guys fought for freedom, healing, and wholeness? Go.
So, at that point when I told Danielle what had happened, I got desperate. And, like, we'd been watching people on YouTube, like, sermons. I only watched two people. And I only watched... I only watched two people, and they have what I want. And I said, God, they live the life that I want, and I want it. And so, like, I got desperate. And something clicked of what they do, and it was there, and it was like speaking truth in the moments when those thoughts would come to me. And I lost that thought. Well, I know it was a specific thing I was going to say, but so yeah, it was like right in front of me the entire time, and I never did it. And I'll describe it this way: like in a court of law, if the prosecutor says something to the judge, and you don't make a response and you're quiet through that, you're telling the judge that that's true. So when you're, and so I took, and I take that to my mind too. If I don't physically speak out against what's coming into my mind, I'm automatically taking that on. And what I'd been doing, like all that stuff that I was, those thoughts that were coming to me, I was feeling towards Danielle. I wasn't attracted to her. So I took God at his word, like literally at his word. I said, my heart is betraying me. My body is telling me a lie because your word is true, and I'm going to take your word as truth. And I'm going to pursue this. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't work, because your word says it works, and I'm going to stay in that. And that was my mindset. It's like, I'm going to continue in this. It doesn't matter how long it takes. And at first, when I would, you know, a thought would come, and so I'd start speaking truth of what I know in the word. And it was very small, and it felt very weird coming out, because I'd never done it before. And so it was like maybe one or two things, and I would just continue on that. But as I continued, like I would do this every time a thought would come, and I would vocally say truth, and it took months before, like, I saw freedom, but it came.
I want to pull on that a little bit and say that can sound like a tool, like a okay, speak truth. We need to understand. Sin is a barrage of lies, right? The battle against sin, on a certain level, is a battle against a wall of lies. And as Danielle referenced, you know, of Justin, that there was years of his mind being trained according to lies about himself, about God, about what is good, what brings life, what is pleasing. And so part of the journey out of that is a fierce retraining of the mind and the heart in the truth. And I can picture you, it sounded like when we talked before of, yeah, this kind of, I feel awkward saying this, you know, like I need to say, no, this is what is true. And doing that day after day after day, standing in who God is and who we are in Christ, who you are in Christ, until you start standing under that, until you start understanding that being what is true and what does give life. And so that, as we've talked each time, I've just heard this repeated commitment to align your mind with that of Christ. Speak to that or keep going.
To add with that, the truth, like when I speak in truth, I wasn't just saying it to say it. I was saying it was communication to God. It was the Father. So like the way I would do it is I would align myself to Him, and I would say, Father, I thank you that you created me for you, that you bought me with a price, that I am not my own, that I am dead to that old self. And because you love me, you sent your Son. And so I would, it was like
aligning myself with who he is and who he says I am. And so that stuff, like, you know, where it says, like, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. It's like you have to, by submitting to the Lord, it's who he says I am. And in doing that, you don't even focus on what the enemy's saying, and you're focusing on what Jesus says. And I'd vocalize that, and I would say that out loud and be in communion in that. And by doing that, he would have to flee. Because I'm like, that's...
Read 2 Corinthians 10. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's what we're talking about here, right? This isn't, and it's not enough to just say, no, that's a lie. We replace it with the truth that is in Christ. We submit that lie. We press it out with the truth of who Christ is and who we are in Christ.
Yeah, like a big thing for me when I was going through a really hard time, when I was depressed and discouraged and was just like, hey, like, this isn't the abundant life that is talked about in the Bible. Like, I'm not experiencing that. And I had friends tell me, Danielle, you need identity. You need to know who you are. And so I started seeking out who I am in Christ and reading my Bible and listening to sermons. And as I started doing that, it was like I separated what he was going through and how I was feeling. And I was able to come to the place and stand firm in the place that I am a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am beautiful. I am worthy. I am more than enough. And as I stood on those things, it didn't matter what he was doing or struggling with. It wasn't affecting me. And that's amazing. Because I was being so broken by the things that he was doing, but I came to this place where I was standing firm in who God said I was. And it was like I wasn't seeing him as this awful person. I was seeing him as broken. I was seeing him as, you need prayer. I need to fight for you as my husband. And I just started praying for him, for who he is, for who God says he is, for how God sees him. And it started changing things, like, big time. And I remember there was times when I was going through this and he was going through that, and he would share that he failed. And before, it would destroy me, but this time I was like, you know what? We're going to pray, because that's not who you are. And I didn't take it on. And so I just want to encourage you that there's a possible place to be in where you aren't affected. Yes, you know, it's a personal thing. We're married. We are one. But there's a place we can be in the spirit when we're not personally affected. And in that place, we can stand and we can fight for them.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to, our time is like gone, but that's where we are. So I want to draw two things that maybe haven't been touched on. So, but that has come up in our conversations. So, one is the training of the mind, an aggressive, persistent, persevering training of the mind. We can never think that a practice, a habit, a way of thinking that we have formed for 20 years or 5 years or 200 years is going to be done after a sermon. Or a weekend, or 1 week. And the health of our soul and our relationships and our minds is worth 5, 10, 15 years of hard slugging to fight out of this. With that, with the retraining of the mind, is the aligning of the mind with Christ is aligning of our ways and our practices and our habits. And I know for you guys, there came a decisiveness around, okay, I can't go there anymore. And part of that has to do with the half measures, right? For some of us, we don't look at porn, but Instagram kills us. I took Instagram off my phone after 4 months. Because I was carrying around the equivalent of pornography in an app on my phone. I wanted to catch up with what was happening with my friends. But there's links, there's hashtags. And it's not porn the way our world says it. But it is images intended to elicit, to arouse, to hook. And there are a lot of half measures. And for you, it started to naming those half measures and being ruthless about those, the compromises. And together, being honest about what are the, you know, like choosing to watch a show that for one of you is okay, but for the other isn't. And being open and honest with each other about, I can't go there. I can't. It's not going to be good for us. we can't do that. So there's a retraining, aligning of our mind, but also of our ways in ruthless ways. Sin is ruthless. The fight against it needs to be ruthless as well. The last thing I want to draw on is just cultivating dependence, desperation. You know, you can look back through your story and see these moments of desperation that turned you toward God. And part of the journey towards wholeness is living there day after day. God, make my heart desperate for you tomorrow and the next day. Desperate for holiness. Desperate for your lordship over me. Not just next time I fail, pull me back, but keep me running, right? Any last things you guys want to, I know you could talk longer, but that's where
I'll
we are.
I'll just add one more thing. I just want to say that this has been something that we've been had victory in our lives for a year and a half consistently. So I just want to say that it's so possible and that, when we think that something's not possible, that's kind of what we run to and that's kind of where, that's our goal, right? But if you think it's possible, then you can just keep running and you can achieve it. And with Jesus, of course, we can't do this on our own. It is Holy Spirit. It is Jesus. We cannot do it on our own. But it's possible. And I just want to say with what we've said, and I just want to say, like, my past, it's so weird to talk about for me because it's nothing I identify with. Like, literally, I'm like, whoa, that I did go through that. What? And that is the amazing thing about Jesus. Like, that's hope. Like, he's not just like a 4 out of 10 freedom guy. He's a 10 out of 10, 12 out of 10, abundant life, right? And so I just want to, yeah, we'll clap for that. And so I just want to say, if you're only experiencing like 4 out of 10 freedom, like, go for the 12 out of 10, okay? And if you want to talk to us or, you know, talk to pastor or anybody, just go for it because it's possible. And that's just something I really want to instill today is that there's hope and that it's possible to live a life like Jesus. Like he said, he came as a man so that we could look like him. He showed us what it looked like to be on this earth as a man, as a human, right? Surrendered, completely dependent on the Father. And so, yeah, that's the part that I like.
Amen. I said at the beginning that these guys are not professional speakers, but I think Daniel could have opportunities in this. Christ says he comes to seek and save the lost. And that is not just once. That is the journey. And in the grace of God, he comes to seek and save the lost day after day in every fiber of our being. We're going to talk about this for the next couple of weeks, not specifically lust and pornography addiction. We're going to talk about the battle for life in Christ, which I trust will relate to many things we've touched on today, but also speak beyond that. We're going to pray for you guys, and then we're going to come to the Lord's Supper together. If there ever was a Sunday where we need to come to Jesus and to the cross, this is one of those Sundays, right? And we come as a community whose hands are open, whose hands are dirty, to the one who offers his life for our sin and his Spirit to make us new. So if you need the life and mercy and grace, saving life of Jesus today, come to this table with a hungry heart and keep coming. I want to pray for you guys. Anything specific that I wouldn't just think of that you want me to pray for or what? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just come to you for the sake of Danielle and Justin and their son Elias and their son Zeke. And we ask that you would continue to show your mercy to them and in them, that you would continue to grab a hold of their hearts day after day and cause them to bow to you again for their life, for their solitude for your glory in every fiber of their being. God, we ask that you would keep them desperate for you. And you would continue by your Spirit to speak the gospel over them and to bring your church around them as they, like the rest of us, walk forward into another year and a half and the next 5 years and the decade ahead and the rest. God, we are, our boast is in Christ alone. And may that be the joy of their heart, God, and the fruit of their life, Lord. We do ask for your blessing and your favor. You would continue to meet them in their marriage and in who they are as your man and your woman. And also you would, in your mercy and your grace, use their story and their friendship and their influence to bear fruit in this, your saving work in the lives of many, God. So thank you. Amen. Amen.